and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. A day! Drum roll, please! 400! Go on, Mike, your turn. Day!
400!
400! How are we all doing? Much excitement here, and not necessarily in a good way, is it, Mike? We have had fun and games. Oh, Simon's in first. Hello, Simon. Very well done. Hello, Renee. Yes, 400. 400. Hello, Jonathan. Thank you, Jonathan. Happy 400 to every single one of us. You know, when I get up the last few shows, Tracy will have heard every single one, poor woman. Sometimes more than once. But this one's going to be a good one, trust me. Oh, Quattro Cento. That's a good one. I'm liking that, Renee. And we haven't lost anyone. No, we haven't, have we, Simon? Oh, we've been very, very lucky. We were all very worried about you and all the brood. But we've all made it through. Do you think we'll do another 400? Well, Jonathan, the way it's going, the world's going crazier by the second. Shall I tell them all? Oh, it's Patriots Day in the US. I didn't know that, Kim. Thank you very much. Hello, Kim. Yes, 400. Hello, Anthony. And hello, Paul. Oh. Yes.
Why don't you tell them what you were subjected to?
Oh, this was so exciting. I never experienced this before. Usually, because I'm in charge. But with this one, I wasn't. So it all went to heck in a handcart. This is classic. Right. Who's heard of Rome, as in Rome research?
They should all have done, because you talked
about
it.
I did a session on it in After Hours, I did. So you should all have heard of Rome. It's a quirky note-taking system that uses the Zettelkasten principle. Now, they have initially, it was in open beta, and anyone could sign up and get an account. And then when it came to pricing, they were actually thinking of, I think it was about £30 a month, which people were horrified with. It ended up at £15 a month or $15 a month, one or other. Hello, D. But they put in place this thing called the Believers Programme. And what you do is you pay...
Then I saw her face.
Yes, a believer.
Now I'm a believer.
You stump up front, basically. You pay for 5 years up front. Hello, Paul. Now, obviously, if it was £15 a month times 12 is £180 a year, times 5 years would be £900. This believer plan was £500. Then, if you'd done this course, you got £100 off it. So then it became £400. So at £400 for... divide it by 5, that's £80 a year, and then divide that by 12, and it comes out to £6.60 a month. So I'm using Rome, so I thought I'll do the Believer plan thing. So I stumped up all of my cash. And that was about, I think it was around the summertime, around June time last year. So far, so good. If you're on the Believer plan, you get invited to behind the scenes. Oh, this was behind the scenes, all right. Behind the scenes webinars that are only for people who are on the Believer plan. So are we all still following along here? Today was one of those calls on the Believer plan thing. So I sit there and I log in and everything's absolutely fine. And they did a bit where they're telling you what's coming, which is great. And then they do a Q&A. So I'm sat here with Mike and I said, it's gone to Q&A. I can catch up on the Q&A later. So we started discussing something that we're trying to organise here. So I kind of side on to the monitor. I've got this Believer webinar on and Mike's looking at it straight on. When Mike went, what the heck? Only those weren't the words, were they, Mike?
Bad words were said.
Bad words were said. Rude words were said. So I quickly glanced around at the screen and there on the screen, instead of the guy who was doing the talking, there was like somebody doing a desktop share which with what could only be described...
I assumed it was the guy doing the talking, showing his desktop.
Well, somebody was showing their desktop, and Mike was assuming it was the presenter. I must admit, I didn't. I assumed he had asked somebody to share their desktop, and that they'd shared the wrong one. Because what was on the screen was what could only be described as hardcore. Trust me. So Mike's face was like,
"We want the porn."
What? What? So I glanced around and it quickly disappeared, fair enough. Probably not quick enough that you wouldn't see what it was, I can assure you. Now, what's going on? So we stopped and we're looking at it. And the guy in charge is like, "Sorry about that." And I thought, well, was it his screen? No, it wasn't. The Zoom was hijacked. It was Zoom jacked. It's the first time I've ever been in a Zoom and it's been Zoom jacked. It got worse after that. I didn't get any of these. Clearly, I'm not in favour. But people in the chat, I'm assuming you've all been in Zooms. You thought the lady pipes were risky. Well, I must admit, yes, this lady, yes, you could definitely see that she didn't. She was not toting a lady pipe. But you could see everything else, I can assure you. I'm like, what's going on? At this stage, I did not know if that was somebody watching it while they were in the webinar. Because, you know, I mean, how many people have we had in Zoom meetings where they're stark naked and completely unaware that, you know, Zoom, like camera, live. So at that stage, I wasn't sure. But then what happened? I didn't get any, but other people did. They were getting DMs in the chat, in the Zoom chat. They were getting direct messages that were... Not of a sexual nature, I don't think, but they were rude. Anyway, then in the chat, I glanced at the chat and I said to Mike, what gives here? The guy presenting it, I don't know what his faith is, if he's got a faith at all. But I will admit, he's quite dark skinned and he's got really long black hair with a beard. So a very young Saddam Hussein, possibly. I don't know if he's Muslim or not, but in the chat... People were making comments. I can't use words like that. But the first part of it was mother. I'll leave the second half of that word to your imagination. Followed by Muslims. And I said to Mike, I think it's been Zoom jacked. At that stage, I was pretty confident. Anyway, all I heard from the guy in charge was 5 minutes. And the Zoom finished. So I'm thinking, are we going back into this room in 5 minutes? Are we going into another room in 5 minutes? I've no idea. He just said 5 minutes and disappeared. So I experienced a live Zoom jacking today. I can highly recommend it for a laugh. Anyway, he did send another mail out and he's come back. The thing is, what he needs is a facilitator. That is what I do for companies. People think like, oh, Zoom, it's simple. How difficult can it be? You got to make sure that doesn't happen. And there are ways it's easy. But unfortunately, he's obviously not gone through the initial settings when he set up the room. So we got Zoom jacked. And there's no need to get Zoom jacked. Oh, but that was very interesting. Learn how to use Zoom, mate. Exactly. For instance, he's left wide open the record button. So anybody who is in this meeting can press record, and you're not recording it for them on their behalf where it ends up on their servers. It will end up on your machine. That probably shouldn't be available, because if somebody does that, then it's your issue. She'll follow you. There you go. Off she toddles. That's because Mummy's run out of food for her, so she's now disappearing. But it's your responsibility as running the meeting to get permission for it to be recorded, etc. So, yeah, bad news. Bad news. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Right, what were they thinking? I have no idea, Renee. Bad, bad news. Wouldn't the host have to give the Zoom jacker permission to share the screen? Well, normally, Anthony, yes. If you've been in a Zoom and you look at the buttons at the bottom and you don't have the option to share your screen, that's been turned off by the administrator. But the default is that they are all available. So even though he's gone into another room now, we still have the chat available. We have the share screen available. And we have the record button available. So the only thing that's keeping people out from being abusive in this thing and getting Zoom jacked again is the fact that people don't know the URL. what actually happened, because once we're in this second room, it was then like, well, how did this happen? Somebody had taken the URL and it had ended up on Twitter. So it was obviously picked up from there. But again, you do have to have a password, but Zoom allow you to tag the password onto the end. Night, Jonathan. You've got to be here tomorrow. It's the Apple event, Jonathan. Don't remember. Don't forget. You need to sack off work about 10 to 4. Tell them you're otherwise engaged. So when the Zoom meeting is set up, you actually get all the options to turn off all of that stuff. And obviously we do. I mean, we do that on private meetings that Mike and I have. So when we record a MacBytes, we're in a Zoom meeting. So we're in two separate rooms physically to get the best audio, but we need to see each other. So we've got the cameras on and we can see each other. But, and that is recorded. I record that as a backup. But screen sharing and stuff is not needed, so we turned it off. And that's even between Mike and I. It's not needed. Turn it off. But yeah, that was good, wasn't it? Oh, Dee, you forgot the Apple event. You can't forget the Apple event. Oh, we need to talk about what we're going to get, don't we? Unless we're talking about that tomorrow. So, yes, that was my highlight of the day. I was Zoom-jacked. Never been Zoom-jacked before. I've heard about people who got Zoom-jacked. There was a synagogue. I don't think it wasn't Mike's mother's synagogue, thank God. But it was, I think it was close round here somewhere. And they adopted, they were fantastic. People at the synagogue were amazing in terms of how fast the synagogues were closed and everything went online. And it was Mike's mum's rabbi that did the funeral that I talked about. He was fabulous. This was like 3 or 4 weeks, a month at most, into the pandemic. So I think it was the back end of, no, it would have been early April last year. And it was a family friend of Mike's family who had died with COVID. And it was their funeral. And of course, everybody wanted to be there. So Mike said, well, you know, do a Zoom funeral. But, you know, you're thinking, oh, dear, the poor rabbi. Because it was back in the day when you could, when you couldn't have anybody at a funeral. So it was the rabbi and the people digging the hole. And that was it. He had to do all of the service. And obviously he's doing it in Hebrew from a book. And he's got his phone in the other hand trying to broadcast this on a Zoom. And I thought, oh, this is going to be bad. This is going to really, really be bad. But I said, well, you know, get somebody in the Zoom from home on a desktop. And that way, at least they can control it if they lose the rabbi. Then the room's open and you don't lose everybody else. The rabbi was amazing. He had the camera there like a, he was holding it at one point, but he was holding it far away while he's doing the readings. And then he's turning it round so he can actually see all the ceremonial stuff. He was fantastic. So a lot of people with Zoom are like really up there now, but there's obviously some that haven't quite got the memo. So it was bad today. It was. Never mind, never mind. It shows you that you do need a facilitator though. Which, I'm trying to think now, I think it was 2008 was the first time I did a session on the Mac. And I had Mike there as TA, which is a technical assistant. So he's not presenting anything, he's just TAing it. He's looking after the chat, he's making sure that it's broadcasting and all of that kind of stuff. I do most of my live production myself. It's my machine that's got Wirecast on it now. So when we're doing the YouTube stuff, obviously you don't have the jeopardy of the Zoom stuff. You're in control with different software. I do all of that side of the production. And it is, it's like juggling and spinning plates at the same time. But Zoom doesn't have to be that difficult. Just learn how it works. So amazing. Oh, Renee's been buying gifts. The Udi. 8 good husband points. I've not heard of good husband points, but they sound very valuable. Oh, I would love to see that. That is a really good gift, isn't it? Is it less so as you head into the summer, or is it still quite cool? We've had a very warm day today. It's been 19 degrees here today, whereas overnight it was -3. So we have quite a swing at the minute, but it's getting to the stage it's oppressively warm. I worked all night. So I was up when Mike got up. Now, admittedly, he gets up early. He gets up at 5. But I carried on working till about 7:30, at which point I had to strategically withdraw, unfortunately. Because, you know, we talk about the shiny screen on the Mac, and I was not paying £500, £600 for that non-reflective rubbish. The sun came out and it was shining on my screen. So I'm thinking at that point, yeah, I need to shut these curtains like a vampire. But I decided instead I'd grab a few hours sleep. So I did. The 21st. Ooh, what colour did you go for, Renee? We need to know things like this. So what else happened today? Because that obviously was the highlight of my day. Book club got going proper last night. This time I'm going to be in the graph. I must admit, I lurk a lot. Read the book, but I lurk a lot. But I decided this time, it's 42 days and every day there's a video. And every day there's what they call a guided writing exercise. So I'm partaking of that at the moment. And it's very good. It's very good. So I did last night's and I'm halfway through today's. So I've got that to talk about. Glamping would cost you points. Can I just say, Renee's absolutely spot on there. If Mike came in and said, we're going glamping. Yeah, on your own you are, Mike. That's not happening. No. What we're doing is a staycation. But we do have tomorrow to look forward to, don't we? So what else did I do overnight? Oh, I actually cleaned the entire desk. It was getting to the silly stage. And today I had to update my iPhone 7. That was bad news. The battery was on fire. It was boiling, boiling hot. There was 103 updates from Apple in 4 days. And it's to do with that, the signing thing, the privacy labelling. I know everybody else is getting the same, but oh, it's ridiculous, isn't it? The time it took to update that and the battery was going absolutely mad. So I had to take the fan off the floor that was cooling me down and put the phone in front of it. And I actually am sat here and I said out loud to myself, it's 2021 and I'm sat here updating a phone, having a fan on it. Apple, where did it all go wrong? Anyway, that one's finished now, I think. It's finished updating anyway. Where are we at with the charge? Oh, that's 100% charged now. So then I set about the other one, which is the iPhone 6S, I think. Or the 6, can't remember. And that one's fully charged now as well. So all the phones are charged. And actually, had a bit of a win-win with that one. That's the one that's in a fold-out case. That's so people don't think I'm looking at my phone when I went to Mass. Because they're very judgmental. Not even joking. So in the little wallet thing on one side of it, where you put credit card, I've got a £10 note. And then I thought, I'm sure I had more money than that. And then I took the phone out and found £40, which I've not spent because I've not been anywhere. So that was nice. I'll have to treat myself to something. Oh, Kim, that's interesting because this meeting, the one that got hijacked, that they're now back online with, I'm recording it while I go because I'm going to have to watch it later. And somebody's just talking about Vivaldi and how amazing it is. I've actually spent some time yesterday reconfiguring Vivaldi. I want to do away with the Notion sidebar totally. So I've rejigged some bookmarks. Oh, the bookmarking feature's amazing. Absolutely stunning. So that idea, I can't see in front of me right now whose idea that was. But if I do the searchy thing, I might be able to find it. I think it was Kim, actually. Vivaldi, come on. Vivaldi. Vivaldi. Oh, good grief. We've done Vivaldi. We've done so many things about Vivaldi. I've got one going back here to the 2.11 update. Now, bearing in mind, we're up to 3.7 now. But somebody suggested Vivaldi, didn't they? I think it was Kim. And then I think about three other people said, yay, Vivaldi. So it's in there to be done. But I've just found the most amazing features in the bookmarks. I've only just found them, obviously, because I don't use bookmarks. But now I've seen what Vivaldi can do with bookmarks. Oh, maybe I need to do this. You can basically have folders in the bookmarks. And if you've got one called like Bookmarks Bar, that you can hook in to be the bookmark bar Or for one job for 3 hours, you can choose a different folder to be the bookmarks bar folder.
Oh, wow.
That's cool. So I've wired it up so my Notion common pages are at the top. And so far, so good with that. So I'll add it into the Vivaldi thing. So we'll do a definite deep dive on Vivaldi, because there's so much to do with it. Honestly, there is. I know mine's configured very differently probably from the rest of you, but that's the beauty of it. You can do it any kind of way you want, can't you? I couldn't live without the sidebar. The sidebar's where I've got the chat right now. But at the weekend, I have the Backbites chat, and then I switch to the Brooklands chat. And then when the Brooklands chat goes quiet, which it usually does about 11 to half past, I've also got WhatsApp in there. So I can actually just flick to WhatsApp and see what's going on in the WhatsApp as well. It's totally fabulous, totally amazing. I also put Rome in the sidebar, and at one point I think I had Notion in the sidebar as well. So it is just, we could definitely have a deep dive on that because it does so much. It's unbelievable. But it's having a moment with Google. In terms of what? What's it doing? Let me know. Tony's booked the entire day off. He thought it'd be fun having a full day of MacBites. What's the running order? The running order, I'll send the mail out later, but the running order is 4 o'clock, so 3 hours early, we are having Marooned. There are some MacBiters who don't listen to Marooned, believe it or not. What we used to do before we had Marooned was we would have what we called a MacBites Live, and that traditionally went live an hour before the show. So at 5 o'clock, we'll do an out on Marooned, and then we'll take our hour before the show time, and we will do a MacBites Live. So during that hour, we'll probably talk about what we want, what we would pay for, what we wouldn't, what we don't want to see, and all the rest of it. That's what we tend to do. At 6 o'clock, we won't go no audio, but if you're watching it somewhere else, then you just turn the sound off. Last time we kind of broadcast their audio with us yakking, I think, at my incredulity. Kim was listening to my reactions. I remember that. He's like, what are they talking about now? No, we don't want an update. Oh, no, they're going to do a games demo. So that kind of feed. When they've finished, so during that time from 6 o'clock, while they're strutting their stuff, we go crazy in the chat. The chat is amazing during their bit. Afterwards, we then come back in and have the post-mortem. What we like, what we didn't like, and when's the next event, because we want something else. So that's the running order for the day. Oh, Kim's got to get up early. 8 o'clock. That's true, actually, isn't it? I did think of you, but then I thought, well, at least it's an hour later than Madam Arch and Madam May. So it could be worse, couldn't it? Hello, Pete. How are you doing? Have you got all your wiring sorted out? Because you were having networking cable put in, weren't you? Is that done? What time is it where Kim is? It should be, if I'm right, Kim. Am I right? 23 minutes past 11? Am I right? 7 o'clock. I think so. But I'm not sure. I had to schedule something as well. This was so funny. The guy was saying, it'll be 1:30 Pacific Standard Time. And then somebody said, do you mean daylight or standard? And then it was like, can we just say Pacific Time? And then I'm thinking, OK, so that's 9:30 in the evening here. And then he started on about it being an hour later than when we started this session. But by this point, it was 10 o'clock. So somebody said, no, it's half an hour ago. Can you imagine trying to schedule that? So I ended up just thinking, do you know what? It's 9:30. Just put it down for 9:30. Anyway, I was right. It was 9:30. Yay! I have that clock thing. Not the clock. The clock is the one that I use to replace Fantastical. So it's a single price is the clock. And it does hook on with the calendars if you want it to, which I've not done myself. And I've got underneath it time zones. So I've got Kim, instead of it saying Pacific time, it actually says Cupertino, which I know is yours. And then underneath it, it says PDT, which is right, isn't it? Because it's standard time in the winter. So it says 11:25. I've also got Paris. I've no idea why. Probably Europe. UTC, Zulu time. Perth, where it's 2:25 in the morning. Don't think we've got anybody from Perth, have we? I don't know why I've got Singapore. Why would I have Singapore on there? Not a clue. I need to put Sydney on there, really, don't I? Because Perth's fine, you know, as long as it goes. Can I choose another one? That's an interesting one. Or do I actually have to delete it? No, I don't think I can. I think I have to actually delete it. Or is there a, you know, configure this? Well, there we go. Delete it. Right. I'll delete Singapore and I'll add another one. Where's the add button? Hang on. Add a world clock. There we go. Sydney. Right. I've got Sydney. Oh, it's offering me Canada. No, Sydney in Australia. Right. Where it's tomorrow and 26 minutes past four. Oh, that's bad news, that, isn't it? Right, let's pop that one down there. It's Cupertino I use the most, which I guess I should rename Pacific, shouldn't I? And put Perth down there. And I think Paris. Isn't Paris? Why is it doing an offset from Pacific? That's weird. I need to fix that as well. Anyway, the clock's a fabulous app. But there's another one. Let me have a look at it. I think it's called World Clock. How does everybody else work out the times? World Clock, I think. Is that the one? Yeah, that one was really good. It's got widgets and all kinds of stuff now. No, hang on, that's not the right one. Unless it's an update. Unless it's an update. No, it's that one, Clocks. Clocks, it was called. I'd love to tell you how much it cost. I bought that years ago. But in essence, what it gives you is time zones in your menu. And when you click the drop down, there's a slider at the bottom. So if you want to work out what time it would be in Sydney 5 hours from now, you move the slider until the UK one says 5 hours from now. And then you look at the Sydney clock and it'll give you the time. It's very clever. The company's called Studio Dalton. And it's been around for years, this app. I just need to know how much it is. I do wish the App Store would tell you that. But once you've got the app, it doesn't tell you. It's $2.99. That one's very, very good. I'll put a link in for both of these. It's getting cooler in Sydney. I would love that. I would love that. Right, that one sounds like they make toilets. They've been around for years. They really have. I don't know when that was last updated. Let's have a look at the version history, see what it says. Oh, dear. Yeah, maybe not want to splash out money on that. January 2015. I don't know if it still works then, because that's not the one I have installed. But I will find the one that I have installed, Mac App Store. And I actually turn off everything else to use just this one. So is this the right one? Let me have a look at it. Yes, this is the right one. And this one is... Let's have it in UK money, shall we? Is that GB or UK? I think it's GB, isn't it? Oh, stop trying to open the thing. $4.99 this one is. But the options it's got are amazing. We covered it in one of the early after hours shows. That's the one I use. So if you look at the images there, you can have it as little clocks. You can have it as a scrolling map of the world. It's amazing. And little widgets as well, if you're on Biggles, which obviously I'm not. Oh, we should have asked young Jonathan how his Biggles adventure's going, shouldn't we? We'll talk about that with him tomorrow. Wonder if he's recovered yet. Oh, right. What's Pete up to? Not even started the wiring, been dealing with chickens. Oh, dear. There's a whole saga involving a fox, kids at the grandparents, chicken body doubles. God's sake. And now the chicken body trebles and a 12-year-old scammer. Oh, Pete. It'll all work out. It's just a matter of time. Oh, Kim's added Manchester to the weather app. That's cool. Manchester weather's interesting. 9 times out of 10, it's raining. But here today, I think we've just got worldwide coverage, haven't we, of the football fiasco.
Mm.
Which Kim will think not strange in the slightest.
No, because that's how they run it over there.
Do you want to explain what's gone on? Explain what's happening in your beloved sport, Mike.
Some greedy people. I was going to say a rude word.
Leave the rude words, just keep it plain.
Some greedy people decided that they would like to get even greedier. I think Tony will agree with me on this one.
Any football fan will.
And they got together and they decided that they would create a European Super League where the top 12 European clubs would, not based on merit, but based on attractiveness and revenue and greed, would get together and join this league, not on merit, but on invitation. And then they were going to invite another three clubs who are as yet unnamed. And then that would leave five more places available for other teams to join this league. And the places would not be given on merit. They would be given on how teams have performed in Europe over the last few years. And a lot of people see this as basically screwing over the football fans and screwing over the European domestic competitions because it's elitist and it's going to mess up the lower leagues where a lot of the money from the top leagues trickles down. So the European FAs and the European leagues, domestic leagues, have responded by saying, we'll kick your teams out of our competitions and we'll stop your players playing for their countries, which I don't think will happen.
It won't come to that.
Because the Premiership need the Uniteds and the Liverpools and the Chelseas, and the FA do, and you know the World Cup do. I'm sure they'll come to some agreement, but it's basically just greed.
It reminds me, and I didn't understand what was happening at the time. Because
Oh, and Jose got sacked, but I've already
Yeah, but I mean, that, that, do you remember that thing?
A good day to bury bad news.
Yeah. If you're not from the UK, this is shocking. And you can imagine we were shocked as well. But back in 2001, September the 11th, the Labour Party, they were in power at the time, weren't they?
I can't remember.
It was one of their comms people anyway, sent a memo out to, now, not, it didn't go out to the press, obviously. It was an internal memo around the Labour Party and the government of the day. This was very early, probably about 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, which would have been 9 o'clock New York time. Today would be a good day to bury bad news. That is shocking. That is disgusting. Well, today would be a very good day to bury bad football news. So Spurs sacked their manager. And it didn't even rate, did it? It's like, oh, yeah, Jose's gone. Carry on. You know, where are we at with this league? So, yeah, a good day to bury bad football news today. But it reminded me of, wasn't that what the Kerry Packer thing was all about?
The Kerry Packer thing was similar. But the way that the Kerry Packer thing, because I actually watched a documentary, well, it was a drama doc recently on that. The Kerry Packer thing, there was a guy in Australia called Kerry Packer who ran Channel 9.
You need to say this is cricket.
Yeah, it's cricket. It's just not cricket, as they say. And he decided that he wanted to have his own. He basically wanted to televise cricket in Australia. And when they wouldn't let him, because the Cricket Association already had a deal with equivalent to the BBC, so I think it was the ABC, Australian Broadcasting Company, he decided that he would set up his own cricket tournament. So they actually called it a cricket circus. And he got the world's best players together, and they played day-night games, and they played with coloured clothing, and they played with, I think it was orange balls or white balls. All of that stuff has now made its way into the normal cricket, so he was like 40 years ahead of his time. But the big difference there was that he got players in to pay him loads of money, and cricketers were poorly paid to start with. Whereas footballers, when you're on £500,000 a week, you can hardly say they're poorly paid.
Mm.
And you're talking about billions of pounds from TV revenue for this. And it's being underwritten by JP Morgan, a huge bank.
Oh, yeah, and you can really trust the banks, can't you?
Who are up the backsides of the Glazers, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, they'll be driving it.
Oh, the
Definitely.
Glazers are driving it. Yeah,
they'll be driving it.
All the
It gets your club a bad name, though, and football's incredibly tribal. Mm. You know, but we know lots of people who have got season tickets who are saying they're just not going to renew, which, in a way, I can't see that happening because, you know, they're diehard United fans. They love the club. But it gets to a point. Some people did leave, didn't they, when the Glazers took over? Yeah. And they formed a breakaway club called FC United of Manchester, isn't it?
Mm.
So it started literally as like they didn't have a ground, they had nothing. That was it 15 years ago?
2005, I think. So,
well,
yeah,
we went in 2017, didn't we, to a game there? And they've got their own stadium. They've got promoted year on year. It's like United was when it first started. When United first started, it was 1878, wasn't it?
Mm.
And it was Newton Heath Locos. Newton Heath being an area in North Manchester. And the loco part of it was a football team associated with railway workers. And when you look at it now, it's so far removed from its roots that it seems to have just lost its way. Not money-wise, obviously, but it's a conglomerate. And so people left when the Glazers took over. Don't get me going about the horse again, Mike. This all tracks back to, like, because at the time it was a public limited company, wasn't it? We had shares in it. So that, why you would then take that back into a private company, apart from money, I don't know. But a lot of people left then, and now this has come up. People are saying that they'll leave again. What other things did they do? There was hostage, wasn't there, that became must. They doubled the price of the season tickets 1 year. And this group formed called Hostage, holders of season tickets against gross exploitation, which I thought was a genius name. Absolutely genius. Go on.
Tony's just... and I've just had a look on the BBC website that Jurgen Klopp has just made an announcement that he and the players are not involved. So
it's going to be tricky.
Yeah. So basically, they are interviewing players and managers and asking for their thoughts. That is like asking me why the vaccine allegedly
is reported to
has caused blood clots.
Yeah, how do you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but again...
They're only employees.
Yes, but the other thing, the thing that makes me feel absolutely nauseous is, in football, there's been... changes have been made over the years, like 2 points became 3 points, and the TV breaks and rubbish like that, and playing on a Monday night, dancing girls, pom-pom girls wandering around. Luckily, United never partook in that. That was because Alex Ferguson, where he sat in the stand, he was surrounded by women. There was one guy, and the rest of the seats lined up next to him were women. So this thing came down from Sky that Monday Night Football, they were going to Americanize it and we're going to have pom-pom girls. And I said, oh, no, we're not. Every other woman there said, no, we're not. So when it came to Monday Night Football, the only way to get out of it, because they were contractually obliged to bring on these bloody dancing girls, he's like, really? That's an American thing, and it's in your traditions. That's not a tradition here. No. And you know, when you were going to a football match back in the 80s...
Our traditions are fighting.
No, our traditions...
Violence
here,
on the terraces.
No, I'm thinking it's already difficult. A woman going to a football match back in the 80s, 90s... alone was already dicey.
Yeah.
You had to fight for a toilet. There was like three for an entire stand.
Yeah, I mean, look at you. Got accosted by me.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, the terrible things could happen.
Yeah.
So the prospect that they would then bring these dancing girls on, get the men all giddy, and then I've got to get back to my car safely, didn't appeal to me. So what Alex Ferguson did was he couldn't get rid of the dancing girls. If you did a Monday night match, the dancing girls were part of the deal. So he said, right, we're not playing on a Monday. Which is the only good thing he ever did.
Mm.
That was genius. We're just not playing on a Monday. So United never had these dancing girls things. But these things have been going on for ages. The interesting thing with the footballers, because Simon's just said, sorry, how much a week? £500,000 a week, Simon. And some are probably paid more than that. The players themselves are complaining about the number of matches already. So it makes no sense to me to bring more matches into it. United have been complaining, and so have other clubs, about the number of matches, and saying they need a winter break. So they give them a winter break, right? That, well, we'll take a little hiatus. We'll give you a bit of a break. And then you're not overrun with matches. And what do the clubs do? Oh, we've got to keep match fitness up. We'll fly out to Dubai and put on 3,000 matches over there. And literally, they'll go over and they'll do like a mini tournament or something, won't they? Again, for money. So we stop the football here when most people could go, meaning, you know, people are generally on holiday, Boxing Day, probably the Saturday before Christmas they're on holiday, New Year's Day they're on holiday, so people don't have to book a day's holiday to go to that football match because it's already on a holiday. So the matches would be immediately before Christmas, Boxing Day, which is the day after Christmas, 26th. Sometimes there's matches on the 27th or 28th, depending on who didn't play on Boxing Day. And they might even squeeze another one in before the New Year, and then there'll be the matches for New Year's Day. And then you're straight into the FA Cup. Those are all days that people can go and watch a match and they don't have to take a holiday. So that they binned those and went over to Dubai. And then they had to come back then. And then they needed a time more time off for acclimatization training because Dubai's hot.
Can we think of an analogy involving Apple for those non-football fans in the chat who don't get what we're talking
AirPods
about?
AirPods Max. They redefined what a pound was. AirPod Max were like, they'll be $350, they'll be $350. I'm telling you, when they come out, this is Prosser, they'll be $350. They're getting you used to the fact, you know, I'm not paying $350 for a pair of headphones. I am not
if
that.
If Prosser keeps going, I'll have no hair left.
Exactly. Neither will I at the prices. I don't personally want to pay that amount of money for a pair of headphones, but if anybody else does, that's absolutely fine. So they're getting me used to the fact that if I do want them, they're going to be $350. Then they release them and they're $550. Oh, right. Okay.
In other words, they're greedy liars, which is exactly what's happening in the football world. Now Rene gets it.
There you go.
Now Rene gets it.
No, I really feel with the AirPods Max, you know, I've not tried a pair, so I don't know how fantastic they are. But what I will say is I have tried AirPods and they're pretty good. The sound on them is good enough for me, you know, for what I listen to, good enough. If I want to listen to music and I want it the best I can get it, then I've got my Altec Lansing headphone speakers that are absolutely they're amazing. If, despite the fact they are 15, 16 years old, they're amazing. And I have a pair of headphones that is good enough for me. They are good enough for me to listen to music. They are good enough for me to listen to spoken word. They're good enough. They are good enough for editing. So I now have one pair of headphones instead of about 20, right? They are good enough. But if somebody else wants a really fantastic pair, then that's up to them. But your average person, what Apple have done, so Rene bought them, Rene's happy with them, right? Would they have sounded as good at $350? Probably. But Apple decided that $550 and then redefine what a decent pair of headphones costs. United did that with a match. 1 minute. How much was the ticket when we started going out? About £10? And within 5 years, it was about 36.
Yeah. How much should we pay for a Wembley ticket in 92? Is it 20 quid?
I don't know, but I can tell you.
Yes, because you've got a picture.
I've got a picture of the ticket.
In our bagels presentation.
In our bagels presentation, I have a picture of the ticket. So I'll tell you exactly how much we paid for a Wembley ticket. Where's my bagels? Oh, that one's still in iCloud Drive, I think.
Oh, no. Might have been deleted. That slide might have been deleted.
What's this one? Master, modified by Mike. 2 years ago. Let's open it up and have a look. Come on, have a think about it. Oh, it's downloading it. It's downloading it, so it's going to take a little bit of time. I'll find out how much that costs. But I've got tickets from when I was at school, and it was 35 pence for a match.
Yeah, I have from the Stretford end.
And, you know, if you want to go to a match now, you're looking at £60. That's not just inflation, is it? Trust me on that.
There you go. Tony's come up with one. The App Store having a super subscribers plan where all the best apps are and normal peeps can't get membership to it.
There you go.
That's a good analogy, Tony.
You see, Do you want to keep... The modifications aren't in sync. Choose which version to keep. And I've got to choose one or the other. Can I choose both?
Eeny, meeny, miny,
mouse. There you go. Keep both. I nearly said a bad word myself, though. which involved the B word.
That's what...
It sounded like rugger. Only it was a B word. And it ended with off. Right. Okay, I'm in. Rumbelow's Cup Final.
No price on it.
Good God, we were robbed.
How much is it?
Go on, have a guess.
30 quid.
I'd have guessed 20.
Yeah.
40. No wonder I didn't have enough money. If you've never heard that story, we were at a reserve match and I wasn't going to the cup final at this stage. And Mike said, "Are you going to the cup final?" And I said, "No, I'm not bothering. I'm not travelling down there on my own." So he said, "Well, I'm going on my own, so we could go together." So I said, "Oh, that's a good idea." He said, "Have you got your token sheet?" Because your token sheet was every match you went to, you got a little token, a badge, and you stuck it on this sheet. You couldn't stick it on with sellotape, had to be glue. I remember that. There were rules. And I just happened to have my token sheet with me, believe it or not. What I didn't have when I came to see how much they were, I was £10 short, wasn't I? And Mike said, "Oh, I'll lend you the money." Someone was very keen on getting me to go to Wembley with him, wasn't it? We were robbed. £40 back then. Good God. Mind you, a ticket now is over 200.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it does make sense. Yes. So think of it as exclusive. Is that a curse word? It is here, yes. Yes, it is. But that's what I was thinking. Do you know, honestly, it's a good job these presentations are backed up and backed up and backed up, isn't it? Oh, look. There's a picture of Mike. Wasn't that your bar mitzvah?
Yeah.
And there's a picture of me at my first Holy Communion. Oh, look at that. The only problem is, oh, look at the colour of those teeth. Oh, no. They're darker than my hair. Oh, I could do something with those now, but that was unadulterated. And there's the two of us on my birthday, my 25th birthday. Look at that. Again, look at the colour of those teeth. Oh, they needed to go. You know, anyone else would look at the picture and say, "Oh, that's a lovely picture." And I'm like, "Look at the teeth." Oh. Now I need to know what it means. It's tamer than that one, Kim, but it wouldn't be said in polite company.
Bad rude words were said.
Yeah, rude words.
Rude words were said.
Oh, what? Now it wants to save it for... See, I nearly said it again. The F word was always hovering there.
Dee enjoyed Brooklyn's changing the subject.
Yay! Oh, we had a ball, didn't we?
Dee,
oh,
are you coming back on Saturday? 8 o'clock.
Oh, Simon, that's genius. I can tell my mum to be off and she'll think it's funny. My mum wouldn't have gone mental if I'd have said that, but she would have gone mental if I'd have uttered the F word.
Yes.
So it's a good job she's not here anymore, really. Cause,
when I was about 10, I was in the car with my mum. She was taking us to Stockport Station to pick up my auntie. And she got into road rage before it was called road rage. This woman cut her up on Stockport Station approach and she gave her an evil stare and shouted, "Something, something, something, you effing cow."
Do you know, your mum's so funny. I had never heard Mike's mum swear. And I can't remember what it was regarding.
I can't.
It could have been the phone or something like that. But like you say, I think we were out at some point. And she suddenly came out with the F-bomb and I'm like, "What the heck?" I was shocked. Oh, she's a scream though. She is, honestly. No, Tony. Rugger, but with a B. Rugger, but with a B. It's easy. Hello, Tracy. Oh, no.
Who's not well?
Tracy's not well, dizzy and a headache. No, Tracy. Oh, I hope you're feeling better soon. Kim cracks up when her mum curses too. My mum wasn't that bad. I don't think she ever uttered the F word. But she had some choice words to use with my dad. Oh, it was Dee's first time on Brooklyn, so you didn't have the slightest clue about any of the quiz questions.
No, nor did we. What we do, basically, Dee, is we pick a theme each week, which we tell you on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then during the show, If the song is a very, very tenuous link, we play the tenuous jingle.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have a quiz. So we just, you just randomly pick a, you know, a song and say, should we do a quiz?
Well, okay, I'll give them all an example. Right. Saturday's theme was chemical elements. And yes, I was sat there with a periodic table in front of me. And every now and then I actually found something. But I'd been through the periodic table and I'd found a couple that I thought, oh, yes. Right. So I'd spotted an element and I thought, right, how can I get that element in? So I played a trio. So we do the trio jingle. And then I made it a quiz. So we play the quiz jingle. And the three songs were Don't Stand So Close to Me, Everything You Do, I think it was Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic, something like that, from The Police. So the quiz question part is, in what way are those three songs related to the theme? Because it's not obvious. You know, if you've got a song and it's called like Neon Lights, then neon is the element. But these songs, there was nothing in the songs themselves or the lyrics that were related to chemical elements. But they were all by The Police. So another word for police in the UK is coppers.
Tracy got that one.
And Tracy got it right at the last moment. Just as I was about to do the big reveal, Tracy got it. So Tracy bounded in and said, copper. And that was the element. So that's the quiz part of it.
But Kim should have got points for Popo, she says.
Oh, you should. That was polonium, wasn't it? You come in and you said Popo. I've never heard The Police here called Popo.
No. It's obviously an American thing. It's
clearly an Americanism. But yeah, I definitely think that one. What else did we do that was like that? Oh, Californium. Californium is a new element or newish element. So we did songs from California. So we did California Dreaming, California Girls. And then I did three songs from Train, one of my favourite groups, because they've got an album called California 37. But I think I did tell people that because there's no way people would have got that one. What other ones did we do as a quiz? Oh, there were some classics in there. Oh, I know. Mike and the Mechanics. So we had three songs from Mike and the Mechanics. What was the link to chemical elements? And I don't think Mike would ever have got that one if I hadn't told him. There is a chemical element. Well, no, let's start the other way. The lead singer of Mike and the Mechanics, you know, Mike of the Mechanics, is Mike Rutherford. And there is a chemical element called Rutherfordium. Now, some said that should have been tenuous, but I'm sorry, no, that's bang on point. Rutherfordium, Rutherford. Definitely. So that's the kind of fun we have. Tracy thinks we've got a different connotation for Popo. Well, for a start, it didn't help, did it, that one of the Teletubbies was called Po. Before we go any further. Oh, Renee, tell us some of the names you've got for the police. We would call them police, coppers, bobbies. Are you going to go for?
Bizzies.
The bizzies.
Fuzz.
Pigs, unfortunately. Yeah. The fuzz. The Sweeney. Yeah. Now, Sweeney, Kim loves this. This is rhyming slang. The Sweeney is Sweeney Todd. So the full thing is Sweeney Todd, but you would say the Sweeney, and you mean the police. And the reason is Sweeney Todd, Flying Squad. And in London, there is a squad of police called the Flying Squad, and they're known as the Sweeney.
Yeah, we know Simon's a Scouser, the Fuzz and the Filth.
Oh, yeah. Ross's Peelers. Oh, there's so many.
Ross's is a Scouse term, isn't it?
Oh, I'm liking De Kitt, although it's probably not pronounced like that.
Aren't they called the Garda in Ireland?
Ireland?
Yeah.
Yes. And in Scotland, it's... isn't there another name in Scotland?
I don't know.
Well, the pronunciation's like the Polis, isn't it? But yeah, it's the Garda in Ireland.
Oh, the Polis, yeah, because what's it say that?
Taggart.
Taggart.
Mm. Yeah. Polis.
Polis.
I think there's another word and I can't remember. Tracy might know. Popo equals Potsy. Oh, I pronounced it right. Good grief. Good grief. Put the buntings out. I think that's a cool one. That's cool. The armed units, sir. Keepers of the peace. That's nice, isn't it? But yeah, they are the Garda, aren't they? And they've actually got that on the cars. So the first time that I went to Ireland, I did not know that. And I'm looking at these cars and I said, like, you know, is that the police? Oh, yeah, that's the police. But they actually, I've read two series of books based in Ireland. One is it Gibney? Gibney author. Is it Pat Gibney? Patricia Gibney. And she's an Irish author. So she's got a series of books where it's about the Garda. And there was another one as well. Can't remember the name of the second one that's based in Ireland. But they're very, very good books. And it's so funny as you go all the way through it, the Garda this and the Garda that. And isn't it that's the name as well? So it's like Garda Smith, Garda O'Reilly. So we'd say PC, Police Constable. Have we dumped WPC?
Don't know.
Women Police Constable. I think we have, you know.
Probably.
Probably. It makes sense to dump that.
Dee's in Dublin. Isn't that U2 country?
It's U2 country is Dublin. I've been to Dublin. Love that. Dublin's a bit of a rugger with a B to navigate. You remember my dad? Mum and dad had this. Well, they hired a car and we had to get from Dublin to Rathmines. And we were staying in the house of a very distant relative. I couldn't even begin to work out the genealogy involved. A beautiful three-story house, absolutely gorgeous. But it was in Rathmines and we'd gone into Dublin city centre. We'd parked and then come out and Dad couldn't read a map because he was driving. And Mum, she wasn't big on map reading. She might have had it upside down. I've no idea. I think I was 17 and he didn't trust me reading a map either, but I just had more chance than him. So he said, I don't know which way to go. I don't know which way to go. And everything was like a one-way system and confusing. And he did not do good with the signs in Dublin either. So Mum said, see that bus over there? And he said, of course I see that bus over there. You know, you see the size of a bus. And it was like this green and cream bus. Well, she said, well, do you see what it says on the front? And he said, yes, it says Rathmines. She said, well, follow that bus. And that was how we got back. Every time the bus stopped, Dad stopped behind it.
See you, Paul.
It was a wonder we didn't get arrested, I'll tell you. See you, Paul. Enjoy your call. Oh, good grief. That was a good one, that. But we did get back in the end. He did not enjoy driving in Ireland at all. Mind you, if we thought that was bad, when he went to France, that was even worse, because then we were on the wrong side of the road. It would have been much better, our holidays, if Dad hadn't bothered, wouldn't it? I'm thinking of all the times it went hideously pear-shaped, and that was just another one of them. 5150, someone called the Popo. I remember that one, kid. I remember that one. Series of Blood. Wasn't Adrian Dunbar in that? I wanted to see it, so I haven't seen it yet. I think I might have recorded it. I can't quite remember. But I fancied that. I definitely had one series, I'm sure. I didn't know there were two series. Oh, need to check that. The Thin Blue Line was hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. Oh, who was the guy in that? I think he had like blonde spiky hair. He was amazing. Loved him. Thin Blue Line. They should bring that back. That was a good series. Ludicrous, but you know, good series. Good Grief, is it 1995? Oh, 26 years ago. Oh no. Two seasons. Who am I thinking of? James Dreyfuss, PC Kevin Goody. Oh, he was amazing, James Dreyfuss. He had such like a babyish face with him. Oh, loved it. He's still going strong in various things, but none of which I've seen, probably. Oh, he was in Midsummer Murders, but that was a long time ago. And He Kills Coppers. Wasn't that the story of... let me think. No, it wasn't. Oh, yes, it was. Hang on. Nipper Reed. Was it? You know, I can't remember the name of the one that died, but it was not the one I'm thinking of. Let Him Have It's the one I'm thinking of. Wasn't that the guy? That was terrible, that one, actually. Let Him Have It. Let's have a look. 1991. Wasn't that Chris Eccleston? Yes, it was. No, I'm gone. Why have I got lots of Ecclestons, but not this, Christopher Eccleston? I wonder if Rebecca and Peter are related to him. And Craig Turner rings a bell. No, that was the... what the heck was the name? Bentley. That was it. Derek Bentley. It was basically a young guy shot a police officer. But he was underage. So he didn't get into as much trouble for it as he should have done. But the guy that was with him was just of age. But he had a mental age of about 8. But he got hung and the other guy didn't. So he was executed. The other guy came out. Yeah, that was bad news, that one. Hello, Deb. CQ. Yes, always better late than never. That's the one, Simon. Yeah. He said let him have it, which he meant let him have the gun, but it was read as let him have it and you know, shoot him. Which, that is open to interpretation, maybe. But the worst thing about that was that the lad, the young one, wasn't executed. That was shocking. I guess the guy was led astray, wasn't he? Was it Christopher Eccleston who played him? Yeah, it was. It must have been a very young Christopher Eccleston, which I can just about see from the poster there. A very young Christopher Eccleston. But it's a sad story. That is a sad, sad story. What was the other one? I'm thinking there was another case. That let him have it was the one that I'm thinking of. But he kills coppers. I'm sure that had a similar theme, didn't it? Three policemen brutally murdered during the 1966 World Cup celebrations. He kills coppers, about three men connected with the deaths. Frank, a fellow policeman, Tony, an ambitious journalist and a witness, and Billy, the murderer. Nope, that does not ring a bell at all. The only thing in that I knew before I looked at that was that Liam Garrigan was in it. Now, Liam Garrigan was in Holby City, but he was also in 24. You remember that one that was set in London? I think there was only the 12 episodes.
Yeah.
He played the son of the madwoman in the first couple of episodes. He was a bit wet. And then he turned and he became like a badder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was him. There's quite a few names in that, actually, when I look back now. Oh, James Dreyfus was in it from The Thin Blue Line. Do you know, this is how hours of my time get disappears. I think, oh, I'll just bob into Internet Movie Database and just check that. I watched last night Line of Duty. Huge Line of Duty fan. Do my best all week to avoid all the spoilers. I preferred Line of Duty when it was on BBC Two and no one was watching it but me. That was much better. But I was watching Line of Duty, and what they've done is when Line of Duty finishes, if you switch over to BBC Four, which is the one with the quality stuff on, they're rerunning Between the Lines? I think it's Between the Lines. Yeah, Between the Lines. Which is from the early 90s. Between the Lines, there we go. 1992. And it's got Neil Pearson in it. There were three series of it. And it was the Line of Duty of its day. What's fantastic with it, as you're watching it, you're thinking, I know that face. I know that face. And then you look it up and you're like, God grief, that's never X. You know, fill in the blank. Half of them are dead. But there's others that were like, there's one playing a 12-year-old kid, and I'm thinking, I know that face. I know that face. And then you realise now that he's like somebody that's in everything. David Morrissey was in it, had a heck of a cast in it. Who else was in it? Donald Sumter, Paul Freeman was in it, Mark Strong was in it, Eleanor David. The most amazing, amazing cast. Finbar Lynch, he's fantastic in everything he does. So I'm really enjoying those reruns. What's really funny is, you know, 1991, Daniel Craig was in one episode. Who else was in it? Kenneth Cranham, James Nesbitt, Jack Shepherd. So it literally reads like a list of the best actors of their day. But it's funny, there's no mobile phones. Everybody's smoking in the buildings. You think, oh, it's only the 90s. You know, it won't have dated. Oh, it did. Oh, it definitely had. Right, let's move up here. Simon loves Chris Eccleston line in Doctor Who. If you're from another planet, why do you sound so northern? Because all planets have a north. Now, he is a big United fan. We've seen him at Old Trafford, haven't we? And also half the cast of Coronation Street sit in front of us. Oh, and Mike Peters from The Alarm. I remember one day I clocked this guy. Now, if you've ever seen Mike Peters from The Alarm, he's pretty iconic, isn't he? He's about 5'7", but he's got spiky blonde hair in a mullet. Even now he's got spiky blonde hair in a mullet. So I'm looking at this guy and I'm like looking from one side, I'm looking from the other, and I'm whispering to Mike, that guy really looks like Mike Peters from The Alarm. The guy turned around and started talking, had a broad Welsh accent, and I said, oh my God, that is Mike Peters from The Alarm. Anyway, his season ticket is about four rows in front of ours. So I next match, I grabbed my Alarm CD. I think I got two. Strength and Declaration, I think. But I think I had him sign Strength. So rocked up at the next match. There he was. So I said to Mike, can you go and ask him to sign that, please? And he did, bless him. So I've got an autographed Alarm because he was there. Oh, I enjoyed that. I love The Alarm. Ooh, right. I will check that. I will check that too. What's a molly? In what respect?
Mullet.
Oh, a mullet. No, a mullet. The think Bono in black, only Mike Peters was in blonde. So a mullet. Was it Pat Sharp had a mullet?
I think so, yeah.
Well, I'll get you a picture of Mike Peters. There you go. With his hair in full Mike Peters mode. He's calmed it down a bit. Oh, let's take that one from the early 80s. Oh, good grief, look at that. This was what he looked like at the football, so there wasn't really much making a mistake, I can assure you. There you go. It's the hair
thing.
That's
Pat Sharp, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the fella. His was the iconic mullet, wasn't it? But that is Mike Peters with the hair, the mullet hair. He's actually, he's still going. He's still doing songs. I think he's in his 60s now. But he has a form of cancer that will never be cured. But instead of, he's not exactly dying from it. The doctor said to him, he will die with it. You know, so he has to manage it. But it's not terminal. But he's going to have to live with it. So while he's sorting himself out and he's in a state with it all, his wife gets tested and she's got breast cancer.
Yes.
And they've got two young kids. So he might be in his 60s, but he's got young kids. So it's shocking. I think she got over it, but he's still living with his. But he's still on the road and doing all the things he was doing. There's Bono with him. I think these two were separated at birth, apart from the colour. Oh, loving it. Let's put that one in.
Good girl.
A hedge backwards. I just think they're amazing. Right, we better head off, haven't we?
We had.
We've got to get ready for tomorrow when it's Three Show Tuesday. Oh, it's going to be fantastic, isn't it? I just need to get up to speed on what might come out. So, we will be with you tomorrow, 3 hours earlier. We will be with you at 4 o'clock for Marooned. At 5 o'clock, we are having a MacBites Live. So possibly, probably some more MacBiters will join us who don't necessarily listen to Marooned. Then at 6 o'clock, we'll switch to Apple's feed and listen to all the what they're going to thrill us with, regale us with. And then after that, we'll be in the chat while that's happening. And then after that, we'll have the post-mortem. So it's going to be a MacBites day, all day on MacBites FM. So we will meet here tomorrow, 3 hours earlier than we did today. On the blasted heath. And we will have the most amazing time with the Apple event. Because don't forget, don't get your hopes up for the Apple event. Get your hopes up for the chat. Because as young Jonathan will tell you, Apple do sometimes do their very, very best to piddle on our parade with games demos and store openings and a cast of thousands where they're going across the screen that fast you've no idea who just spoke. But we always have the most amazing time ourselves. So irrespective of what Apple try and do, we will have a good day and we will see you there tomorrow. So for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. In the meantime, stay safe, guys.